So today we're coming to the end of our series about giving. And if you've been here over the past few weeks, you know that we've been looking at some practices related to giving that we find in the Bible. We've heard about tithing and first fruits and festivals. And we've thought about questions like, what is it that we give? So we give time, we give money, we give energy to things. And how do we give? Do we give regularly or spontaneously or proportionately? But this morning, I'd really like us to focus on the questions, why do we give? And why is it important for us to give? And let me just say that I don't have all the answers to those questions. But I think it's really important for us to try and answer those questions for ourselves so that we have some idea about why we're giving and what it is that motivates us in our giving. We might wonder if sometimes we give out of a sense of duty or obligation. Perhaps we feel like we have to, or that it would be wrong not to give when we have the opportunity. Or perhaps it's more a matter of routine and habit, so we don't think much about why we do it, it's just automatic. We have standing orders with the bank, or we're on a rota for something at church, and so it's just what we do, or just something that happens every month. But I think that one of the reasons why it's important for us to think about this and to consider what it is that motivates us in our giving is that it matters to God why we do things. Not just what we do, but God cares about why we do things. And that comes out quite clearly in the passages that Hannah has just read to us. So let me read them again just to remind us. So Deuteronomy chapter 24, I'll read from verse 19. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that is why I command you to do this. So we have the instructions, but we also have the reason behind it. And if we turn to the second passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starts with that same word, remember. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I find those two passages very helpful. And it's interesting that not just telling us what to do, but explaining why he wants us to do those things, God shows that he is a good father who is interested in our good, in our well-being, and in our development. And he wants to bless us. That's really clear from both these passages. And not just from these passages, from the whole Bible. God wants to bless us. He's always wanted to bless us. In spite of our failings and our faults, God wants to bless us. God wants to bless everyone. So if I had to summarize my thoughts about why we should give, and I've been thinking about this quite a lot over the past few weeks, I think these are the three things I've landed on. We should give because God gives to us. And we should give because it all comes from God. Everything comes from God. And we should give because of what we get out of giving ourselves. And I don't think I need to explain too much about these points. Hopefully they make sense. And the passages as well, I think, are pretty clear in what they say. So I'd like to read just one more short passage to help us while we think about our reasons for giving. So if you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 on page 1194, if you have one of the Bibles. I'm just going to read three verses. So it's 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse 17 to verse 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. I wonder what we make of this passage. It won't be the first time that some of us have heard these words, but for others, perhaps this will be new. And I'm keen to know what kind of reaction or response these instructions kind of produce in us. So let me read it again. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. It's full of promise, isn't it? These are good words. These are helpful words. And these words, they come at the end of a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a close friend called Timothy. And what is it that Paul wants Timothy to do? It seems like Paul is giving instructions to Timothy, but these are instructions that he's meant to pass on to other people. And there are particular people who need to hear what Timothy has to say. And part of our reaction to these words might depend on whether we consider ourselves to be included in this target audience or not. So, command those who are rich in this present world. Are we in that group? Do we consider ourselves to be rich? Well, a couple of weeks ago, Louise mentioned that living in the UK puts us in the top 10% or 5% of the wealthiest people on this planet. And it might not feel like that. But the reality is that there are many, many people who are much poorer than we are. And we know that there are people who are much, much richer than us too. But there are people who live in real poverty. And in fact, we should count ourselves amongst those who are rich in this present world. So what is it that Timothy is supposed to say to rich people? He says, well, let's listen. First of all, do not be arrogant. Don't put your hope in wealth, but put your hope in God. So if we consider ourselves to be amongst the richest majority of the world's population, then we could find these words quite uncomfortable, quite challenging. But Paul's not wanting to tell Timothy, or he's not wanting Timothy to tell other people that they are arrogant or putting their hope in the wrong things. He's warning them, I think. He's warning them of dangers that come from being wealthy or living in a wealthy country. And it's exactly what Jesus told his disciples too, repeatedly. These are Jesus' words. Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So given the choice between putting our hope in God or putting our hope in possessions and wealth and riches, if God exists, and if what we read in the Bible is true and trustworthy, then it's not really much of a choice. Putting our hope in God is by far the better option. But how do we do that? How do we practically put our hope in God rather than in wealth and riches and possessions? And I think Paul goes on to say exactly how to go about that. Paul tells Timothy that those who are rich should do good. They should be rich in good deeds. They should be generous and willing to share. Those four things. Very practical, very straightforward. Putting our hope in God involves being willing to share, being generous, being rich in good deeds, and doing good. But the reality is, if we do those things, then we will have less for ourselves. It's just logical, isn't it? And we might ask the question, well, if I do that, will I have enough for me? But wealth is uncertain. It's only God who promises a certain future beyond this world. And by following these instructions, we can learn that God is trustworthy, that he's faithful, that we can put our hope in him rather than in what's in our bank balance. And that's the way we grow. We can afford to give generously because God is generous towards us. And we can give gratefully because we know that God gives us everything that we need. And if we give graciously, not only to those who deserve it, but maybe to those who don't seem to deserve it, then God's grace will abound to others. So those are all reasons why we should give. But I think there's one final reason. We give because that's how we grow. Jesus' teachings in the Gospels are picked up by Paul. And then Paul passes those same instructions on to Timothy. But the instructions that Timothy gets aren't just for him to follow. No, the instructions are to be passed on to another group of people. And that's how discipleship works. So the instructions that Paul gives to Timothy, he's to command other people to follow. And this is how people grow as disciples of Jesus. Remember at the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus gives this great commission, go and make disciples of all nations, people who will follow him, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I'll be with you till the end of the age. And that's what we see Paul doing with Timothy in this passage. This is discipleship. I want to suggest that giving is an important part of that process of growing in faith, with the promise of life that is truly life ahead of us. And giving is part of this firm foundation that we can build for our lives as we put in these things into practice. So we won't get it right straight away. We need to think of ourselves as apprentices. I don't know if anyone's done an apprenticeship, but being a disciple and discipleship is just like being an apprentice. It's practical training. It's on-the-job training to become a follower of Jesus, to become like Jesus. So we won't get it right straight away. We're going to be learning as we go. But it's important. And doing good and being rich in good deeds and a willingness to share with others and generosity are things that we can add to our weekly to-do list. They're things that we can put into practice. And God will give us opportunities to give our time and our energy and our money and many other things for his glory. So that's our series on giving. It comes to an end. I think it'd be good to pray together now. Lord, we want to thank you for the things that you tell us to do. Lord, the instructions that you've given us through your word, through people like Paul and Timothy. Lord, we thank you that down through many, many years, these instructions have been faithfully passed on. And many, many people have learned to live life your way and to have the true life that you offer. And Lord, we want to be people who participate fully in your kingdom and your purposes and what you're doing in the world today, Lord. And thank you for placing us here in Portswood, Lord. Thank you that we can learn from you, we can learn from one another. And Lord, we want to grow in the way that you want us to grow. And so we thank you for these very practical instructions, Lord. We thank you that we can put our hope in you, because you are true, you are good, and you are trustworthy. So, Father, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit and you would open our hearts to all the things that you want us to do, the life that you want us to have. Lord, give us that firm foundation that we can build on. Lord, help us to avoid the pitfalls and the traps of wealth and riches and money, and Lord, help us to be willing to share and to be generous and to do good and so be part of your kingdom, your eternal kingdom that is advancing day after day after day. So Lord, we ask for your blessing. We know that you want to bless us, but not only us, but you want to bless the people around us, the people that we spend time with week by week, Lord, the people that we see around us. Lord, help us to receive your blessing, Lord, to be filled to the measure of all your fullness, Lord, and to be a blessing to those around us, just as we've read together this morning. Lord, we look to you because you are the faithful one who will do this. Lord, build your kingdom in us and through us, here in Portswood, here in Southampton, across this nation, and into the world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.